Monday morning and another fabulous award ceremony is done. Mark has taken off his sequined leotard and is ready to perform because he has watched the SAG Awards so that you didn't have to. Hello.
Hello. Morning, Simon. How are you?
You're just wearing black. You're dressed like a puppeteer. You know, when if you go see like his Dark Materials or something like that, and there are puppets on stage or Warhorse or something like that.
Yes.
They wear what you're wearing now, which is basically you become invisible.
Well, yes, but that's just because it's first thing in the morning and I'm in my house and I've just been sitting up watching the Netflix broadcast of the SAG Awards. So I didn't see any need to dress up for that, Simon.
So remind us of where the SAGs sit in the panoply of award season.
Well, so the next thing that happens really is the Oscars are upon us next Monday. I mean, we've done this as a three Monday thing. So we did the BAFTAs last Monday. Now there's the SAGs and then there's the Oscars this coming Monday. And as with anything at this point, it's all to do with whether or not any of the SAG Awards, and bear in mind the SAG Awards, SAG-AFTRAs, cover both film and television. So if you're a film fan, there's a large section of them which is to do with television. If you're a television fan, there's a substantial section which is to do with film. But there were in the film results a couple of, I mean, some newspapers have gone with upsets and have said that it shakes up the Oscar race. I'm not sure that it does, but there are certain things which have gone against the Oscar prediction certainties, which means that the Oscar race may be slightly wider open than we thought. Although I remain to be convinced. I think that the Oscar odds haven't shifted enormously, but there are a couple of things in which there are areas for doubt. But that's where we are. This is the last port of call, really, before we get to the Oscars.
Presumably, is the voting closed on the Oscars, or do Oscar voters look at what's happened at the BAFTAs and the SAGs and go, oh yes, okay, that's interesting. Maybe I should vote another way.
No, as I understand, Oscar voting has now closed. But what the theory is that the SAGs may be an indication as to what those already closed votes have in them. Because obviously it's not just to do with watching an award ceremony and thinking, oh, that thing won that, therefore I will vote for it. It's more to do with, oh, that is, it's like a poll. It's like an election poll. It's like, you know, what people tell you that they voted for and what it turns out they've actually voted for. So that's all it is. As I said, with all of this, it is an unequal science. I mean, it is all alchemy in the end. And always remember that in any awards ceremony, there can be a surprise or an upset because in the end, it's all nonsense. I mean, I do want to be absolutely clear about this. I know we're doing podcasts about it, but all awards are essentially nonsense, unless you win one, in which case, as you and I have done, they're very important.
They are. And you could tell, I mean, we'll get to this. You could tell when Isabella Rossellini was saying, you know, everyone involved with the making of Conclave wishes the Pope all the best for a speedy recovery.
Yes.
Everyone has got that headline in the back of their mind about might happen.
I know. Okay, but in a way, you're sort of plot spoiling because you're jumping ahead there. But you know,
I'm not plot spoiling. It's been in the news.
I know. Well, do you want to do the headlines in that case?
Well, you do the headlines. So it's the movie stuff that takes the. Well, we'll talk about the television as well.
Yeah,
but I thought the biggest story was Timothée Chalamet. I mean, Conclave doing very well, taking the best ensemble. But the fact that I was pleased that Timothée Chalamet got the nod because he's been overlooked so far.
Yeah,
that was the big story from my point of view.
Okay, so significantly, the thing to understand about the SAGs is SAGs are voted on by actors, Hollywood actors, who are amongst themselves the biggest branch of the membership of the Academy. So therefore, there is a certain section of, well, if they voted like this, then this is how the Oscars thing will go. Timothée Chalamet has for a long time been second favorite in the Oscars odds check betting behind Adrian Brody, who has been on course to win Best Actor because, you know, that's what everybody thinks is going to happen. When we got to Best Actor at the SAGs, it went to Timothée Chalamet. And I honestly, I think Timothy Chalamet was as surprised as anyone else. It was one of those things when, you know, they do the close-ups on everyone's face, and he genuinely looked surprised. So Brody won the Globe, the BAFTAs, and I have just checked on Odds Checker, and he is still favourite for the Oscar. But as Forbes was saying this morning, this represents a shake-up. Does it shake that certainty? Well, you know, I mean, the only thing that shook me was Timothy Chalamet went on stage dressed in a leather jacket and leather trousers, as far as I could tell, and an absolutely puce green shirt that was, I mean...
It was one, it looked very much like Zoolander. And the other thing, apparently Bob did, it was an homage to Bob, because Bob had a leather suit and a bolo tie and
green. That green shirt?
Spectacular.
Did Bob Dylan wear a green shirt? I mean, honestly, I've never thought Bob Dylan is a style icon, but there we go. Anyway.
The point is, Chalamet could wear anything he likes.
Yeah, the jury's out on that one, but I think you and I have slightly different feelings about it. Anyway, so he got up and, you know, he called Bob Dylan a true American hero, and he seemed a little bit, there was a whole thing about the microphone stand was too low down and he didn't know how to make it come up. In fact, another point in the evening, Jane Fonda won a Lifetime Achievement Award. And she was messing around with the microphone stand in a way that suggests that she's never been on radio, because a lot of the thing, all you could hear was the of the microphone stand while she was fiddling around there. Anyway, so Timothy Chalamet winning and voted for by this section of voters seems to suggest that when it comes to the Oscars, it's not an absolute dead cert that Adrian Brody will win for The Brutalist, which people had assumed it was for quite a long time.
Okay.
I think it could go either way. I mean, we have said that Timothy Chalamet is definitely snapping at his heels.
So as far as the television awards.
Hang on, do you want the other movie headlines yet? Or do you want to go to television?
Yeah, I was just excited to get on.
Yeah. So the other movie headlines are, and we'll come back to all of these. Best actress went to Demi Moore, who is absolutely Oscar favorite, and I think is now pretty much set to win. A supporting actress went to Zoe Saldana, or they called female actor in a supporting role. I'm sorry to use the correct terminology. Female actor in a supporting role, Zoe Saldana, who has now won everything. She was typically overwhelmed and breathless, but didn't actually burst into tears. And Kieran Culkin, a male actor in a supporting role for A Real Pain. Again, those two now seem to be locked. So I think as far as the Oscars are concerned, Zoe Saldana and Kieran Culkin can definitely start writing their speeches, even though Kieran Culkin hadn't written a speech this time around. And then Conclave winning the ensemble thing, we'll come back to, because that is that an upset in terms of what's going to win Best Picture? We'll come back to it. But after the BAFTAs, it's worth having that discussion. Anyway, you were mentioning there were also some television awards.
Well, it's just worth mentioning because these TV shows are incredibly expensive and spectacular. So Outstanding Action Performance by a Stunt, I'll just do them all. A Stunt Ensemble in a Television Series is Shogun. Outstanding Performance by an Ensemble in a Comedy Series, Only Murders in the Building. Outstanding Performance by an Ensemble in a Drama Series, again, Shogun. Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor in Comedy Series is Gene Smart for Hacks. Male Actor in a Comedy Series, Martin Short. Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor in a Drama Series, Anna Sawai, again, Shogun. Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor, Hiroyuki Sanada, again, Shogun. Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor in a Television Movie or Limited Series, Colin Farrell's Amazing Performance as Ozcob in The Penguin. And female acting in a television series, Jessica Gunning for Baby Reindeer. So there, you know, some very, very big shows, and Shogun is the big takeaway. A spectacular, fantastic film series, the most subtitled series of all time, I would think.
Yes. However, can I say something about on the subject of Colin Farrell's win? Because having sat there and watched all of this and watched the acceptance speeches, so Colin Farrell received his award from Jamie Lee Curtis, right? Jamie Lee Curtis did a very, very good speech. There was a kind of introductory thing in which they introduced her as the scream queen, Jamie Lee Curtis. They showed a whole kind of montage of her stuff and people screaming in movies. And she then came on and said, I've been screaming myself hoarse since the Carter administration. And then she started talking about horror movies. She said, horror is a genre of visceral emotion, one of our greatest storytelling traditions. Horror, ironically, is unafraid of pain, fear, and our most unsavory truths. And then she went, and by the look of it, so are the actors in our next category. And that's how she segued into the thing. So firstly, yay for Jamie Lee Curtis and doing a very, very good, you know, properly thought out thing about why horror is great. There's a reason everyone loves Jamie Lee Curtis. When she presented the award to Colin Farrell, she introduced him as the man who gave me COVID at the Golden Globes when he won for The Penguin. And he got up on stage and said, yeah, it's a fair cop. But Brendan Gleeson effing gave it to me, so I was just spreading the love around.
And it's like showbiz COVID is a whole different strain. It's been underreported. It's not like any other strain of COVID. Showbiz COVID is entirely different.
It's like that brilliant, the first feature by Brandon Cronenberg, the antiviral thing, in which the setup is that people want to have the diseases that their screen idols have got. So you can get, for example, a cold sore sourced from your favorite screen actor. So it's like that. It's like, celebrity disease.
And you mentioned Jane Fonda already, but if you're going to give a Lifetime Achievement Award to, I mean, may we all look like that when, well, not exactly like that when we're 87, but how fantastic to be that smart and together when you're 87. So yes. I thought, but did you like, she was wearing like a dress covered in moustaches, which seemed slightly unusual.
I thought more importantly, yes, obviously what somebody's wearing is important. In the case of Jane Fonda, I think it was more to do with what she said in her speech. I mean, I know obviously the speech is sort of prepared and scripted and all the rest of it, but she kind of did a very good version of being off the cuff. And apart from the microphone stand thing, which was just remarkable because the amount of noise that microphone stand was making was really, really strange. But she basically did a speech in which she was saying, you know, where we are at the moment is a very, very bad place, a very, very difficult place. But the thing that acting does is it's all about empathy. And honestly, it was almost like the kind of, you know, the Roger Ebert cinema is a machine for creating empathy thing. That was the sort of the headline. And she talked very passionately about how, you know, during the course of her career, she was introduced as somebody they said at the beginning that, you know, in order to be an actor, you have to sort of understand all these different things. So is it surprising that Jane Fonda has had a really, really remarkable life? And she said herself, you know, I've had a remarkable life and a kind of crazy life. And there was a talk about also, and I'm not done yet, you know, the fact that I've got this award doesn't mean it's all over. There's much more to come, which I'm sure in the case of Jane Fonda, there is. But she was genuinely sort of impassioned about the fact that we are in precipitous times. And I thought she was, I mean, she's Jane Fonda. She's an absolute icon and a force of nature. And she has, over the years, been very, very outspoken on a number of issues. And it was really impressive that at this point in her career, she's still as fiery and as full of vim and vigor as she ever was. And I just thought it was great when she said, you know, I did this. This isn't the end of anything. And basically, you know, I'm still going. I've still got more in me. And he looked at it and thought, yeah, you really have. So well, yeah, it was good.
On the subject of celebrity ailments, if I'm going to catch the woke mind virus from anyone, I'll catch it from Jane Fonda.
Well, as Jane Fonda said, all woke means is giving a damn about other people.
Yeah. Which is a good... So when your grandparents ask you, what does this word mean? That's a good place to start, really.
Can we just say officially, anyone who uses the word woke as a derogatory term, because nobody uses it as anything other than that now, just shut up.
It's interesting because it is only ever used as a... Yes. In a kind of derogatory sense. It's never used in a... Anyway. Yeah.
Just shut up. I was listening just yesterday to Pod Save America, in which there was an interview with Bill Maher. And Bill Maher, you know, you can feel however you want about him. But, you know, when he starts talking about everything's got so woke, it's like, shut up, you... Just... Yeah, anyway.
Okay, thanks for that. So as far as the movies are concerned, outstanding action performance by a stunt ensemble in a motion picture. The nominations were Deadpool and Wolverine, Dune Part 2, Gladiator 2, Wicked, and it went to The Fall Guy.
Yes. And of course, there has been a long campaign to get stunts recognized at the Oscars, and that has yet to come to fruition. But I do think that the world is changing. We've talked about this quite a lot on the show. I think it's interesting that this is a performing awards. Of course, it's going to be slightly more ahead. But I think the time has come that the Oscars are going to have to get their finger out and recognize stunt work for what it is, which is a performance, and a performance worthy of awards.
Actually, I do think it makes the Screen Actors Guild Awards far more interesting, the fact that they have awards that don't exist. You know, next week we won't be talking about stunts.
Next week we won't be talking about ensemble casts either. Yep. And that's actually one of the really significant things, is I know that people say, well, ensemble cast has more relevance in television. Really? Surely Conclave is an ensemble cast movie from top to toe.
Very much so. But The Fall Guy, a worthy winner?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a film about stunts, and it has great stunts in it. And I did an onstage at the IMAX when Fall Guy was first out. I liked The Fall Guy. I was kind of surprised that it didn't do better than it did. And one of the guys was one of the people who had worked on the stunts from it, and he ended his little speech about the movie by jumping over the balcony at the IMAX. And I had no idea that there were crash pads down behind him, and it scared the life out of me.
So outstanding performance by a cast in a motion picture, a complete unknown, Anora, Emilia Perez, and Wicked, and it goes to Conclave. That's just an interesting twist, isn't it? That instead of being best movie, it's outstanding performance by a cast.
Yes, that is absolutely because it is the Screen Actors Guild. So it all comes down to performance. It is worth saying that this is effectively, therefore, the SAG Best Film Award. Okay, so Best Ensemble is their version of Best Film. It was pointed out in the papers that the last three winners of the SAG Ensemble Cast Prize, Coda, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and Oppenheimer, have all gone on to win Best Picture at the Oscars. And therefore, that's why this is being flagged as a potential shakeup. I don't know that it's enough of a shakeup to move Anora off the top spot that it's been at for quite a long time, as far as the Oscars is concerned. However, it is definitely true that Conclave did very well at the BAFTAs. Conclave has walked off with the top prize here. And I suppose it means, well, it's worth looking at. Weirdly enough, the last time I checked the betting odds, Conclave was in third place to win Best Picture behind The Brutalist. So the sort of, you know, the industry wisdom was that Anora was the favorite, The Brutalist is second favorite, and Conclave is third favorite. So is the SAG win really, really enough to shift it? And I would say my own feeling is not. All awards are crazy, but my own feeling is that it's not going to win Best Picture. And I will now imagine in my head the montage that our top team will put together of me saying Conclave will not win Best Picture, and then the announcement at the Oscars that the winner for Best Picture goes to Conclave.
Outstanding performance by a female actor in a supporting role went to Zoe Saldana for Emilia Perez.
Typically breathless.
There wasn't really any doubt about that.
No, the two supporting actor categories are locked, I think. So Zoe Saldana, again, she got up to the screen. She didn't cry this time. She nearly cried, but she didn't cry. She did the standard impassioned speech, which she has now rehearsed many times because she's won everywhere. And incidentally, brilliant. Her performance is fantastic. I would still contend that in Emilia Perez, she is the lead actor. And I know we can go around this, you know, in a million different ways, but she is the lead actor. The lead female actor. I can't see anything knocking her off the Oscar win for that. I think that's absolutely locked and deservedly so, because she's brilliant in it.
Outstanding performance by a male actor in a supporting role. Again, as you said, nailed on, really. Kieran Culkin for a real pain. I did smile at the thank you to SAG for giving me this incredibly heavy award.
Yes, yes. And then he did it. Then he did a very good riff. And again, he did appear not to have written a speech. So he did a bit fiddling around with the microphone stand. Then he had the award, and then he said, "Wow, this really is heavy." He said, "It really is heavy." And of course, that's, you know, thing about acting, isn't it? Yeah, because acting's so heavy. And then he said, "Yeah," or the person at the back of the room who says, "Can I say heft?" Because they want to be recognized. And then he was very funny. And then he did a very sort of off the cuff flippant speech. And then he said, "Believe it or not, this actually means a lot to me." And then he said, "But it's hard to be sincere after that, or indeed ever." He told us,
and referenced the interview, you know, the interview that he gave with Jesse Eisenberg to us. You know, yes, that's exactly the way he is.
And then he did the thing about, you know, Jesse Eisenberg casting him, having never seen him in anything or never, you know, met him, but doing it because his sister Hallie had told him that he should do. And his speech was really funny. And I hope he wins the Oscar. And I hope when he wins the Oscar, he does a very, very funny speech.
I'm intrigued to see what Kieran Culkin does next, because it's in the way that Timothy Chalamet can do a variety of roles. I wonder, Kieran Culkin is great at playing that role.
Yes.
I wonder what else he can do. I think that's what I'm wondering. Because he in the same way that Jesse Eisenberg's sister said, the only person that can play this role is Kieran Culkin. I wonder what else. I would just like to see him do something completely different.
Okay. Anyway. That's interesting. Okay.
So, outstanding performance by a male actor in a leading role, Timothy Chalamet for A Complete Unknown. Yes. Against Adrian Brody, Daniel Craig, Colman Domingo, and Ralph Fiennes.
So, you know, it's possible that would be an Oscar upset. It's possible that Timothy Chalamet would win. Who knows?
I'll be cheering if he does.
Yeah, I mean, he's well, you know, I mean, I'm slightly lukewarm about that film, but I think his performance is good. He did say at the thing, this was 5.5 years of my life, and I dedicated myself to doing this properly. And the strange hair arrangement that he's sporting at the moment, I'm assuming that is for a role,
because yeah, nobody, you would imagine so, and that yeah. and that tash yeah. and so on. But yeah. I wonder if he had you know, by saying, you know, I devoted 5.5 years of my life, I want to be one of the greats. He has that intensity, which suggests that he could be. So
yeah, and you know, he's clearly talented and doing
leather suit.
Yeah, but the suit was just, I mean, okay, if it's a tribute to Bob Dylan, but apparently, I mean, Bob Dylan's sartorial sense is hardly recommendable.
No, although I should mention in the Best Supporting Actor category, won by Kieran Culkin, Jeremy Strong, who is nominated for The Apprentice.
Yes.
He was basically dressed as a leprechaun. And for that, he deserves... he's got the most incredible green suit. And for all the world, you know, if you see a photo and you can't see anything with scale, you think, okay, is this special effects? Is he about to be a leprechaun? Anyway, he's a strange guy. Anyway, which leaves us with outstanding performance by a female actor in a leading role, which went to Demi Moore against Mikey Madison, Carla Sophia Gascon, Cynthia Erivo, and Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, well, Carla Sophia Gascon is sort of off the stage completely now, and we all know why. We talked about that before. Demi Moore is Oscar favorite to win on this coming Monday, and it was very moving, actually. She did say at one point that words had sort of failed her, and it did look like they had. I mean, she's had a remarkable career. Her performance in The Substance is brilliant. I love that film. I mean, I absolutely love that film, and it was so fantastic to... It's so fantastic to see a film that is that out there and that wild and that, you know, that much of a... I mean, to relate back to what was being said before by Jamie Lee Curtis about horror, you know, the horror film... doing that well, because it is a horror film. Obviously, it's a satire, but it's also a horror film. It's a body horror film. Yeah, it was good. It was a good speech, and I really, really hope that she wins. I mean, I love Mikey Madison. I think she's brilliant in Anora, and she kind of, in a way, that, you know, that performance sort of has my vote. But to, you know, Demi Moore, it's there's the career behind her, and the fact that she took on this role, which is really out there. I mean, it's really, really out there. And yeah, anyway, so I'll be happy with either of them, but I think it is going to be Demi Moore.
Now, people can't see where you are, but I can see your Tom Robinson poster in the background. I played Tom Robinson on the album show yesterday up against the wall, and I thought, I hope Mark is listening at this point.
Fab.
Because he should be ringing in and complimenting me for playing up against the wall.
Well,
side one, track one.
Do you know what I was doing over the weekend? I was presenting the British Film Designers Guild Awards, which I've done for 5 years now.
Did Kieran Culkin win in that one as well?
And one of the things that it's worth saying was there was a lot of stuff at the SAG Awards about the fires and about the work that the unions done. There was a collection of firefighters there in the room. There was a table of firefighters. One of the things that I was talking about at the Film Designers Guild Award was that in America, production designers, and this is rather brilliant, have been involved in helping people whose homes have been lost get their insurance money for those homes. Because a lot of people who lost their homes, obviously all the papers and all the plans and everything, the stuff that you need for insurance claims, they were destroyed in the fire. But the production designers put out all points bulletin. If your home ever featured in a movie or was ever scouted for a movie, it's very, very likely that the studio still have record, that the studio, the production designers still have records, interior records, of the inside of your house. And also production designers were putting forward their skills and services to create very fast turnaround floor plans for people's homes that could then be used to forward their insurance claims. And it was one of the things in which it was a real indication of people within the business using their skills to do something really, really valid in the real world. Because obviously the fires have been such a big part of all of this and loom very, very large over this award season. And I just thought it was amazing to hear about production designers and art departments' hands-on involvement in responding to that terrible events.
And there'll probably be more references to that at the Oscars, which we'll be covering in a full Oscars special. Mark will stay up all night again, put on his glittery gown one more time, or maybe he'll be dressed as a leprechaun or Bob Dylan from the 1960s. Who knows? So the usual takes will be with you Thursday/Friday, depending on when you want to get them. And then our Oscars special will land with you on Monday morning.
Can I just say one other thing about the SAGs? So obviously a lot of the SAGs was to do, it was some, they were, you know, it was a screen, television awards, and the awards were presented by a number of people, and there was a lot of jokes that I didn't get. There was a lot of kind of in jokes, and there was a lot of jokes about co-stars from TV series that I'm not yet familiar with, because obviously my main thing is film. I don't know that much about TV, although I've been watching more since we've been doing Take. One of the awards was presented by David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson, right? And they came on stage and they did a thing about, oh, hey, how you doing? You haven't seen each other for a long time, Yeah, you're looking great. You're looking younger. And then they did this gag about, there's one thing that you have to have in order for a screen pairing to work. And, what is it? And then there was a long pause. And then David Duchovny said timing, and Gillian Anderson said chemistry. And the joke fell a little bit flat. And then Gillian Anderson went, that's hilarious. And now, I want to be absolutely clear about what I'm saying. Gillian Anderson did the best impression of somebody in a state of advanced refreshment I have ever seen.
Did that make her make her voice sound like Christopher Walken?
It did. It was hilarious. It was suddenly like, wow. I mean, the thing with Gillian Anderson is she's an unusual presence. She's quite an eccentric person. I've never met her. I've never interviewed her or anything, but she's quite an eccentric person. Right down to the fact that her accent seems to change from thing to thing. And I think she's a brilliant actor, but it was one of those, okay, this is really genuinely, it's hilarious. The joke was very funny. Anyway, so there we go.
Very good. Well, that was a good showbiz anecdote right at the end. So thank you very much, Dee, for listening. We'll be back with you in a few days.